8. So if you are a kid who is part of Grace Kids and you were worshiping with us, we're so thankful that you joined us to worship as well. Now you can go downstairs to your classes. If you're in Activate, you have classes as well. Thank you so much for worshiping with us up here as well. For the rest of us who are going to be in the room, I just wanted to give you like a heads up that as we grow in these times of worship, our heart that the Lord is awakening us to is not just a personal form of worship. As you would have noticed, a lot of the things that the Lord is doing in us is something that he's also seeking to do in us as a community of believers. Not just for us, but for Indiana. And not just for Indiana, but for the nations. So when you look at me, okay, I'm quite different from some of you. But God called me as a little boy in a totally different country across the nations in a little coastal town. And that's where I grew up. And that's where the Lord called me and formed me and called me after his purposes. And that little boy grew up and God sent him to the nations. And today he's standing in front of you saying, God has the nations of the earth on his mind. So when we worship together, when we have the privilege of celebrating together as the church, for us to just keep in the back of our mind saying, Lord, we're part of something way bigger than meeting at Fifth Street and Grant. We're doing something way bigger than just doing church on Sunday. You've joined us to something where there is the family of God all across the earth that worships Jesus in very different and unique ways. And he says, that's my body. Not just Word of Grace, not just the popular churches that we see on TV or in social media reels. The little churches in little towns. This past summer, we were in near the border of Myanmar and Thailand, and we were in a refugee camp. And it was amazing seeing that church come together. We didn't understand much of what they were saying, but you could see these were people who knew Jesus very intimately. That's what you are joined to. So as we grow to these monthly prayer for the nations, prayer for cities, please go into through that hallway there. You'll find there every month we have new nations and new cities that we are praying for, that we consistently as a church apply ourselves to saying, we don't want to just be a self-centered, this is our little community and we just pray for these things and my family. But Lord, grow the heart for what your heart is, which is the nations. Okay? So just as I start to preach and get into the word, I just want to let you know also, as far as giving goes, there is boxes on the walls here and there is giving via text. You could do that by texting to this number. And every time we participate in giving, every time we participate in worshiping, we're giving of ourselves to the Lord. We're not giving him something. We're not just giving him something. We're giving him ourselves. So I just always want to bring us back to that. Because sometimes in church meetings, in church activities, we tend to get involved in things. We're giving God something. We're doing something. Worship was not your thing. Worship was your self. Giving is not your thing. Giving is your self. So the more I start to see this is all of me kind of a thing that God is drawing me into, I start to submit myself to the process. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer as we get into the word. Father, we thank you that your word is truth. Lord, that everything that you say is light for our feet. Lord, you want us to walk a certain way. You want us to live in the reality of who you are. So, Holy Spirit, we invite you to be the teacher in this room today. Lord, we thank you for every heart that has given. Lord, we ask that you would increase our heart. Lord, I ask that you would lead us, Lord God, to places of generosity and giving of ourselves to people in our community. Lord, we ask for these transformations, Lord, to happen as we go through our normal daily life. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. For those of you who have never seen me before, my name is Judah. I'm one of the pastors here at Word of Grace. And I get to share with you in this kind of, it's almost like a vision setting kind of series that I've started. Because some of you were at Base Camp, which is our Vision Sunday. But I thought there were certain things that I touched on there that need a little bit more developing, that need a little bit more explanation, so that you start to see what God is building in us is not just a catchy theme for 2026. If that is just somewhere in the back of your mind, I want you to throw that out, because that is not our goal at Word of Grace. When we say we are heading for something or this is our theme, it is not to be catchy. It is literally saying this is something that we have sought the Lord about. We have asked the Lord, Lord, how would you have us teach and equip your people? And he would give us something to focus on. So for this year, our focus is going to be now live. So you've heard certain things about a posture of heart in 2025, about yielding to the Lord. It's almost something that you cannot put your finger on in an activity. Does that make sense? It's like, how do you love somebody? I don't know. Love is one of those words. It's hard to explain. There's lots of activity involved, but there's something far more internal. That's what yielding is. Yielding is an internal posture of heart. And that is fundamental for any Christ follower. So now that there is that softening of hearts to yield to the Lord, to respond when we hear his voice, we start to find that now God wants us to live the life that he has called us to. And I just want to just set the stage for what I'm going to talk about today in this whole everyday concept. So if you notice, I've talked about grace last week. I tried to define grace in very simple terms for each of us to understand that grace is not strength to bear something. That's often how we use the word grace. It's almost like, oh, God, give me grace. Because I'm tired or I'm done. And grace is often that kind of like God sauce that I'm hoping kind of just gets me through. We use that phrase almost like a get me through. Not I want to walk through this, I want to conquer through this, I want to succeed through this. That's not even on our radar. We're immediately drawn to, I just want to get through. And God wants to change that mindset in us. So when it talks about God imparting his grace, it is something we see at the cross that is not just a statement of you will be saved from your sins. The cross is not just a statement of being saved from your sins. The cross is a statement that you are no longer the person who is living. The life you now live, according to Galatians 2:20, you live by faith in him who gave his life for you, and now he was raised to new life, and the life you have comes from him. That is grace. The presence of God being imparted to you, being within you in the form of his Holy Spirit, is not just, oh, help me get through the day. He wants us to live an entirely different way. And that's kind of what I was inviting us as a church to, not just in 2026, but I set in motion kind of for us a pathway to 2035. So for the next 9 years, so like say by the end of 10 years of where we are, we should be a certain kind of church. What is the name of our church? Word of Grace. And I don't think that was something that was arrived at lightly. When God formed us together or reformed us as a church to be called Word of Grace, there was something quite essential about the DNA of this church that needed to be set clear. there was going to be a move of God's grace that had to supersede all the things we understood, all the things we thought we had as a strength, all the things we thought we needed to grow in, all of that. He says, my work of grace is going to come and sustain you. So when we stand here as a church that is involved in our community, there are many of us who are doing different things. God has given each of us a unique grace, a strength, an impartation of who God is to do what he has called us to do. But that's not just an individual program. And that's the tendency we tend to have. What does God want me to do? I want us to start asking, what does God want us to do? So we stop doing this island ministry model, where everything we do works for me, and the moment you disagree with me, that's because you're wrong and I'm right. Let the word of grace fill those places. Where you start to find a word of grace is, I have called you two to work together. I'm nothing like him. I don't do things like her. I don't see things like her. But the word of grace comes and says, here, let me give life to these places. Let me join these muscles and tendons and joints to work together so that they work effectively to represent Jesus to a world that is in darkness. And this is the context. So from defining grace, I want to define the other part, the everyday part. When I say the word everyday, what does that mean to you? Yeah, every day. Aside from it being every solar cycle around the sun day, what else does that mean to you? Common. Any other words? All the time. Yep, all the time. Daily routine. Normal. Consistent. Yep. Grind. Yeah. Expectant. Okay. What? Explain that. Okay. So it's like this is run of the mill. This is what we expect. Yeah. This is normal every day. Yeah. Okay. I see what you mean. I like all of these words together because it gives you a picture of something that is not planned for. It's happening. It's just happening. If I say, what's your every... It's every day. I don't plan with some great planning calendar for waking up and drinking my coffee or my kids waking me up before I get to my coffee. You know, all of these things, this is just every day. And it doesn't come with a plan. It happens. And there's a form of routine to it, but there's a form of, I don't know what's happening, right? I don't know what's next. So there's the grind aspect to it, where there are certain things that are just like, come on, this needs to get done. I need to get to that. And there's that everyday aspect. And then there's the everyday aspect of, it's like, it could be anything. And the word of God comes to us and he says, I want to give you something for your day. There is light for you to walk in today. So unless we have the word of God that is applicable to the grind, to the common expected, to the totally out of the blue kind of things about every day that I can never plan for, unless there is a word for that, what are we doing here? I mean, I can make, maybe if I was a really, really good speaker and I was a really good pastor, maybe I could get you through kickoff later this afternoon for whoever's watching those games. Right? Maybe. But then what? Then what? Unless the word from Sunday is something that's mattering through Monday through Saturday, because that's where you're living. You're not living here. We don't all get to give each other hugs and say, yeah, I totally see that, and you know, I'm going to encourage you. What happens when you don't have people to encourage you? What about when your boss is being just really, really difficult? Or your kids get on your nerves? Like, what do you do then? Because that's when we need grace. So we need an everyday grace kind of operating in our lives. And this is something that we have available, but we don't often talk about this. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 12 through 13, it says, you will call to me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Psalm 86 again talks about this. Lord, uphold me with an undivided heart. This whole idea of, Lord, my heart beating itself must be seeking after you. Today in a song we sang, Here Is My Worship, where every breath I breathe. Now we know that conceptually. My daughter and I, we were talking about this while we were singing it. And I said, do you realize? I said, just take a nice big breath in. That was a gift. Right there. That was a gift. I said, now tell God about it. So when we realize that the very fact that we're sitting here right now was a gift, my response of worship must become almost commonplace. Very every day. It needs to be so, oh, this is something that I'm aware of, and it's happening all the time. So to pause at various points in my day is important. To say, Lord, I want to be someone who responds to your grace, not in a very dismissive, I guess God's working in me. And how many of you read Philippians chapter 1 this week? Right? And we all love to quote Philippians chapter 1 verse 6. Right? And we go, he who began a good work in you, he's faithful to complete it. Peace out. It's on God. It's on God. It's on God. Hey, God's like, where are you at? It's on God. No, that is a false grace. That is the kind of grace that is often being taught in church. That is not grace. Grace comes to him deliberately, just like Jeremiah is talking about. When you seek after him with your whole heart, you find the transformation that he started within you, he's bringing to completion. It is not something he automatically does his abracadabra over you and it happens. It is something that he does as you co-labor with him in the things of God. Last year we used the phrase, the quest. There is something quite specific. It's not some vague, I guess we're going to walk with God into some blissful cloud called heaven. These are the kinds of misteachings we have, concepts that sit in the back of our head, and we have no aim when it comes to walking down here on earth. What am I trying to do? Get through the day. What am I trying to do? Get through the kids in their terrible twos. Like we even like make up names for these stages. Like as if we're patting ourselves on the back for succeeding, for getting through it. These are important stages of God's grace being imparted to you, and we refuse to come to him for it. Rather, we would much rather name it and give ourselves a pat on the back for getting through it. Do you know that you are shaping, if those of us who have children, I have them too, as frustrating as it is to raise kids, it is the most important work God has given us to do for people who are going to be standing and leading another generation. For those of us who are trying to just get through the day with our spouse and, oh, I hope, you know, we get to retirement. How many of us have the goal of getting to retirement? Do you see how the goal of this world starts to form us? Where we get formed without even thinking about it. We're not actively thinking about it. It just happens. We get pushed into this mold saying, you got to be working for retirement. You'll get there. Totally oblivious to the grace of God through your working career. Totally oblivious to the power of God for salvation for those in the workplace. And then there'll be those bright sparks where God shows us something and we get excited for a minute when we see something with our colleague or a job or a financial provision in something that was a very hard season. And then we forget again. Because there wasn't a consistent everyday grace mindset. Because I was waiting for those big, like, whoo, big, like almost like a Hail Mary in the deep kind of pass, that suddenly like, wow, God showed up and my job is great. And I forgot again because next week happened. You're riding the high of that moment and we forgot. God had grace for me today. So this is what the Lord says. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. This is what the Lord says. The wise person should not boast in his wisdom. And the strong should not boast in their strength. And the rich person should not boast in his wealth. Does that cover all of us? Okay. But let the one who boasts boast in this, that he understands and what? Knows me. Let him take great sense of joy in this, that he knows me. That I am the Lord showing faithful love, justice, and righteousness on the earth, for I delight in these things, says the Lord. So of all the things we could do, God is simply calling us to something very, very basic. My son, my daughter, do you know me? Do you know me? In the New Testament, let me put it in another way. Jesus came to Peter. He says, Peter, do you love me? Lord, what sort of stupid question is that? Like, of course I love you. Peter, do you love me? Yeah. He was exposing something where his mind was starting to get drawn into other things. He's like, no. I'm bringing you back to the heart that I know you have. He wasn't trying to trip Peter up. He was drawing him back to something that Peter had. You're someone who has seen me. You know me. You love me. So now do the things that I'm calling you to do. So when he says, he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it, he's not trying to say, I guess I will eventually figure out all of the junk that you've done and I'll try and thread it together to make a plan. No. He's like, I've fashioned you for this. For fellowship with me. For communion with me. So when we as a church get into that mindset, when we share and when we participate in communion together, we start to find these are places of knowing him. This isn't a ceremony. These are not just sacraments for the sake of it. When we get baptized, we are not just doing something so that we have our religious certification. We're doing this because God changes us from deep within. In Hebrews chapter 8, he talks about these things. It's not in my notes, but the Lord laid it on my heart while I was just worshiping. But By this, the Holy Spirit indicates that the way into the holy places was not yet opened as long as the first section. He's talking about the old covenant of sacrifices, doing things that go into God's presence. There would be a priest who would offer sacrifices on behalf of the people. But then Jesus came along and he says, I am that sacrifice. I will make the way into God's presence. So that's what you and I enjoy. Now, I want you to understand something. According to, this is in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 9 onwards. They were symbolic. These practices of washings, of ceremonies, of sacrifices. They were just symbolic. According to this arrangement, gifts and sacrifices offered that cannot perfect the conscience of the worshiper. Verse 10, but deal only with food and drink and various washings, regulations for the body imposed until the time of reformation. So there was coming a time, and I want you to read that word at the end of verse 10 as reformation, where the what formed us wasn't these community practices that did something for us. The reality has come, that is Jesus, and he says, I want you to walk, and I'm going to see Christ formed in you. Every single step of the way, where there isn't this kind of cavalier, oh yeah, I get to hang out with God. Jesus is my best friend, bro. No, no, no. This is not one of those kind of things. This is the most holy God. I cannot approach his presence without being cleansed. And he says, I've done it. There is nothing for you to do. There is no pretense. There is no needing to stand on one foot and do this kind of prayer. And then all of these, do you see how religious systems have tied us to things, including the evangelical church? We've tied people to certain things, thinking in them we have salvation. Are they means to growing in the grace of God? Yes, but make sure where your eyes are. Be clear about where your eyes are as a church. The more we set our eyes on the goal of Christ formed in us, we start to find we're no longer bound by the system of things, but we're released to know God. Then each of the things we practice, whether it is reading the Word of God, whether it is listening to the voice of the Lord by His Holy Spirit, we're not doing these to gain something. We're doing it because I am connected to you. This is the joy of the relationship. I'm not achieving something from you. If you notice about fasting or prayer or whatever, all of these great things that a believer in Jesus should be growing in, you know why we have a problem with these things? It's because we have the what. We don't have a good why. I want to ask you, I want to challenge you with that. What is your, the moment you touch the Bible, the moment you take communion, the moment you do anything, ask yourself, why? And you will suddenly start to find, so I can be better at this. So I can grow in this. It's a self-seeking model. But when the joy of being with Him is your highest aim, you will start to find the grace of God flows into that practice of whether it is fasting, whether it is reading His Word, whether it is doing your devotions, whether it is worshiping in song. Whatever it is, you suddenly find the grace of God is able to be imparted because I was seeking just you. Where me was not the focus. Very often we stumble in practices of Christian discipline because we are trying to get it. I'm going to see if I can get to 5 days. I'm going to see if I can finish this plan and get to the end of my 365 days of the year Bible plan. Why? Ask yourself, why? And when you have a good why, you will start to find It is releasing. It is no longer a binding. It's no longer something that, like, I have to get this done. The joy of being with the Lord leads you into further growth. Let Him be your joy. Let Him be your sufficiency. Then let him who boasts, boast in this: I understand and know the Lord. Do you see that verse now starting to make a little bit more sense? Because he's saying there is a tendency for us to say, I'm going to get better at that. I'm going to get more wealthy like this. That is why I give, so that if I give, then I will, the Lord says he will press down, shaken together, running over, he will give back to me. I don't give because of that. When it comes to strength, I'm strength because through Christ I can do all things, so that I can help lots of people, so that he is glorified. So I boast all the more about my weakness, not my strength. Do you see the change in focus as a church needs to be? We need to know the Lord. Now when I say the words, know the Lord, are you understanding what I'm saying? That we are not getting after great amount of Christian disciplines knocked out of the park. We're talking about a heart that is ready to respond to him in the nothingness, in the everydayness. Can you put that vision statement up? So last week I talked about those three pillars of formation, but I just want to give you something very simple. What are we about as a church? Very simply, we are equipping what kind of people? Not church people, not really professional Christians. Well, who are we equipping? The Monday to Saturday people. Because I don't care if you can serve on worship ministry. I don't care if you can lead a really great Bible study here. My question is, can you lead a good Bible study when your kid has a question? My question is, can you lead a good worship time when you are in the midst of a battle on Wednesday night? That's the kind of equipping we need. So we're equipping everyday people to do what? Two things. Know God. That is a personal thing. But then corporately, we start to sense, when we meet in meetings like this, the voice of God is something we start to hear collectively. And we hear things that benefit and grow us in the grace of God. And then what? We carry that presence. When we carry that presence, where are we taking it? Into everyday life. We're not taking it to another ministry opportunity. Hear me. We are not trying to create ministry opportunities outside the church. We are the ministry opportunity. So when you change your mindset on trying to create, oh, let's do a campus event that's really massive, and let's do, like, for, like, all the people on the... Great, God might have us do that together, but our mindset is what? Whether there is some big outreach program, or whether it is just me talking to someone at the checkout, it's a ministry opportunity. If it's me ministering to my kids who are sick. Many of us have been sick over the last few weeks. Have you noticed there were multiple ministry opportunities right in your home? How much of that ministry opportunity was left to Netflix? Because it's so much easier to just not bother people. Just let them. They're off. Just let them be. We carry the presence of God. This is God walking in our home. This is God walking in my work. So when I am touching things, I am not touching things as just a mere human. The presence of God has come. As Jesus said, the kingdom of God has come near to you. And just in case you think I'm overreaching, Jesus said, the same way my Father sent me, so I am sending. He basically said, tag, you're it. And when we sit here trying to wait for the most holy reverend of somewhere to come and pray for this situation, or the most smart person in this area of life to come and speak into it, we forget. We have the God who can be understood and known. So no one gets to boast that they're wise. No one gets to boast that they're strong. No one gets to boast that they're rich. None of those things count for anything when we have the presence of God. And will He bring to us wise people? Will He bring to us the riches of this earth? Will He bring to us the strength and the strong people? Absolutely. But it is not something we have to cook. It's not something we have to try and figure out. So to close, I just want to give us this summary again, going back to these three pillars. The three pillars are very simple. And in any form of our ministry, if you're a team leader, if you're someone who's leading here, if you're teaching, I want you to listen for these themes right through what we talk about. Is it centered on the work of Jesus? We don't want to build any other foundation than the one that isn't already been laid, which is Christ Jesus. And through Him, we have salvation from our sin. But not only that, He is Lord. The invitation every day in our lives is to surrender to that. So when we say we're a community of people who are carrying and knowing God and carrying His presence into everyday life, we're saying we know Him like this. You are Lord. So you get to have the final say. Whatever I do, this is what knowing God means, that you have the final say. My identity is formed in Christ. It is no longer I who live. Are you starting to see? When I say the words knowing God, it is these three things, but very simply dialed down into, on any particular day, God might focus, you're going to know me clearer as your strength today. Because my identity of being the strong person in my family has been what's driven my life. And He says, guess what? You don't have to be strong anymore. I will be your strength. And you suddenly find Jesus being my strength is a key pillar of my growth now. Because I had other places of strength that He's saying, surrender that. I am Lord over your life, surrender it. Secondly, His word is truth. When the word of God is able to inform what is true, not just what I think and I feel confused. Confusion loses its power over me when I have a source that I can always go to. This is what it means to know God. I don't rely on my own understanding, but I seek the truth. He reveals to me the things that don't often make sense. When I go to the Word of God, I start to understand and know Him. It is from here I'm able to, Psalm 119, you have a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. Imagine that we have a life planner sitting right in our hands, and the Holy Spirit who lights it up for us says, come to me and I will show you how to build a life plan. That's what you and I have. Finally, the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given to us by God so that we can be empowered. Grace comes to us to see God at work. Corinthians puts it this way. We see this power made known in these jars of clay. We're just earthly vessels. But the power of God is seen through us. We see the presence of God starts to become a real tangible thing. It's no longer a made up, I guess God is here. Do you know how we sometimes play act all this stuff? We're like, I guess I'm Christian, so God's somewhere in the vicinity. No. Remember? If you seek after me with your whole heart, you search for me, you will find me, you will know me. When Jeremiah is talking about these things, God is inviting them to a clear understanding of His presence. Not like this vague association by connection kind of, oh, I guess we're in church, so God must be. No, God, you know what? You walk into some church meetings, you will be surprised. God is not in the midst of them. That should scare us. But this is the bigger truth, which is shocking. There is so much of what we do in the modern church, if the Holy Spirit was not present, you wouldn't notice. That should tell you something, that we have enough of our worship, our liturgy, our teaching, our everything so cleanly laid out that if God was not in it, it was biblical, it encouraged people, it gave them something to belong to. What a shame. We would trade the presence of God and knowing Him for play-acting the whole scenario. Do you see where my deep disgust and pain is with this system that we have, where we need to push past this wall? If we as Word of Grace are going to grow, we have to push past this wall of just kind of do the Christian things. It makes sense. It's from the Bible. I have to know Him in the everyday, because Monday to Saturday is coming for every one of you, whether I like to have it happen or not. And your Sunday Christianity is not going to work. It has to be something that makes sense for you Monday through Saturday. So the presence of God is something we carry. Can you put that statement back as we close? You start to see that everyday people knowing God and carrying His presence into everyday life is what that's the journey. We're not going to be there tomorrow, okay? There are things that we're going to have to break down fundamentally in how we operate. For me, it's scary. I'm going to put my hand up. It's scary to me to do what we're aiming for. Because it means I have to challenge myself to let go of certain things that are so formative for me. Things that help me make sense of my own life. For me to invite the presence of God in is challenging. It means I'm relying on His strength, not mine. So can we just do that together as we close? Father, we thank You that You are the Holy Spirit who not just was given to us to convict us of sin, but You have been sent to give us life, to impart the life of Jesus to us, to teach us to walk in Your ways, to know You. So we ask, O Lord, that Your grace would be known in these times. Every place of striving, Lord, would cease. Lord, show us where we are striving to do something that only Your Holy Spirit can do. Holy Spirit, I ask that You would help us to understand the calling that You've given to us as Word of Grace. Lord, that we would lean into these things, Lord, with a whole heart. That loving Your Word would become the lifeblood of who we are. That loving Your presence would become the lifeblood of who we are. Lord, that our identity being formed in Jesus, that we are new creations, not the old person, would be the lifeblood of who we are. Lord, help us in these things. Help us to grow to know You more and more. We love You, Lord. Together, we just want to respond to You and say, we love You, Lord. Awaken our hearts, Lord, to more of Your presence. Lord, where we feel stuck, help us, Lord, to get unstuck. We rely on You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.